The anointing to change your nation. He said, the Lord says, I am going to begin to unravel the corrupt system in Nigeria. And men will say it is impossible. But I say, with God, all things are possible. He said, there is going to be a revival in the universities. And this revival is going to be of such a large magnitude that the revival in the universities will affect the secondary schools and will affect the primary schools. He said, I am going to change Nigeria to the next generation, says God. And the Lord says the unity of the leaders is coming. I am going to uproot and dethrone the occult. I am going to overthrow the occult spirit. And I am going to use Nigeria to heal the rest of Africa. Because what happens in Nigeria will affect the whole continent. So the Lord says, I am going to use Nigerians in Russia. There will be many churches planted in Russia. The Lord says, I am going to use your nation. I am going to use you in the Middle East. God says, I am getting ready to change many things. He said, I am getting ready to expose this occult in the highest level. In the next few months, I am going to begin to tear it down, and I am going to make it shift. And there will be a day violence will no longer be heard of in the streets of Nigeria. And it will be one of the safest nations on the face of the earth, says God. Hallelujah. God bless you and bless you. Now, I said I'll read through everything first, then I'll pass a few comments. Because this will guide our prayer. Now, this is just a summary of many things we have heard here and there from different ministers. And like I said earlier, when we were discussing, that when God gives a word, it is not as if it's just absolutely automatic that it will come to pass. There is a spiritual activity that we arise from God's representatives on the earth before what he said in the heavens will come to pass. Do you understand my point? That is, God, there are two ways to it. There is a spiritual level. Well, both of them are spiritual. There is one in the heavens, like the Bible will say, and there is one on the earth. This is the word in the heavens that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, thy will be done on earth as it has been proposed or declared or written in heaven. Do you understand me? So this is what God has said in heaven. Now, when it's given to you like this, what God expects is that, Bible says, like we read from Jehoshaphat, now 2 Chronicles 20:20, he said, believe the Lord thy God and you will be established. Yet believe also his prophets and you will prosper. That is, if God's prophet says something, especially if you have understanding, you know this is in accordance with the purpose of God. You take those words and they become your weapon of warfare. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, you will say to God, you have said. Now, if nobody does it, God will say this thing. He said, I'll do this within the next few months. And few months, you know, the Bible says that to God, a day is like 1,000 years. So even if 1,000 years passes and it has not happened, a few months is still on. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? However, if everything breaks down, I mean, everything rushes and reaches a completion in 2 days or 2 hours, few months becomes 2 hours. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, so that these are the things that will guide your prayer whilst you are praying for a nation like and this nation, Nigeria. Now, there are a few points I want to bring out from this prophecy, which is actually absolutely in accordance with God's, with the understanding of the Word of God. Now, let me first start by saying something here, that spiritual things, all right? Now, let me put it like this. In a nation, every nation, okay? What's the most important to God is the state of the church in the nation first. Now, what you now find in society will be a reflection of what already happened inside the nation. Now, if you see a society like maybe take the United States for example that became a very great nation, it was not like that from the very beginning. Do you understand? There was a time they were a riotous nation, lawless, absolutely lawless. Now, let me tell you something about human history. They lie a lot. Did you hear what I said? One thing they do deliberately is to take credit away from God. The human history, they lie a lot. You read it from the scriptures yourself. After Jesus rose from the dead, the Pharisees paid the soldiers to say that the disciples stole his body. And as at the time the scriptures and the gospels were being written, the testimony is that that was what was still widely believed amongst the Jews. They never found his body, but they just accepted that the disciples stole the body. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, and that was because they paid. a lot of the histories that you read, they never tell you the truth. For example, America, take a place like CNN. There's no how, if people pray CNN won't collapse, that somebody won't take CNN over. Because they are a very powerful network in the world, and they are filling the air with lies. You understand? One day, if I get angry with them, you understand, I don't have the energy to face them yet. There are more important things locally, you understand me? But if I get angry, they will lose it. Somebody will buy them, TBN will take them over. Why am I saying so? I was watching CNN once, and it was American Thanksgiving Day. And they consciously avoided saying it's a day that Americans thank God. I know, I remember Jonathan Mann talking. And they kept on stammering over it because it was difficult to give thanks to nobody. So it's obvious, you could sense it. It was permeating the newsroom. It's a day that Americans are thankful. You know, it's madness. But they keep saying, how can you thank nobody? But the history was that the people gathered to thank God and celebrate. But they consciously take it away. Now, I know what I'm saying. I was watching TBN recently, and Breakthrough Man, my wife's friend, Rod Parsley, he was speaking. And he brought out, I think, the diary of Christopher Columbus. And the man was reading, he was reading from it, how the man said he discovered America. Let me summarize. This man kept on saying, there was no other way I could have done this apart from the Spirit of God. That the Spirit of God moved me like this, and God directed me to do this. So Rod Parsley said, don't worry, they will never tell you this in schools. They will just tell you Christopher Columbus came to America. Why he woke up and faced that direction? How he stumbled on the place? Nobody will give glory to God in any form. Do you follow what I'm saying? You see, before America emerged as a great nation, the first thing that happened, really, the truth is that there was revival in the church. Do you understand my point? There was a spiritual revival amongst the people. There was an outbreak of the Spirit in every... No, look, when you talk about people like Charles Finney, that's what made them relevant. That's when the seed for greatness was sown. It's not their place. That, what I mean, that it's not the individuals that created the mighty nation they became. It's God that ordered events to become like that. And the first thing the Lord did was to give them a spiritual revival. It was based upon that physical events began to play down along the line. And if the church will not arise in that place, just give them a short while. In my own opinion, South Asia, and I say South Asia, Asia will take over as the world power. Believe me. In fact, those ones are just waiting. In fact, we may have to wait till Asia, or if Asia fails, or we join them. Because the way I look at it, now this is just my opinion. You understand my point? But you see, I don't expect a Turner and CNN to give God glory. Do you understand me? I don't. I expect, and God doesn't expect it, really. His own is that if you won't, don't worry, I will dethrone you. There's no trouble with that. The problem he has is when the body of Christ in that nation starts misbehaving. Do you understand my point? Now, I'm not forgetting this prophecy. It's the reason why I'm explaining all this. So you see that what you find in the society, therefore, is a reflection of how the body of Christ there really is. Do you understand my point? Either because they are absolutely non-existent, so you find backwardness, primitivism, or whatever, or primitivism, or what do you call it, in the land. That is, you just see people who are slightly better than animals. Because the Spirit of God that teaches you, Elihu said, to be wiser than the beasts of the fields. Now, when the body of Christ comes in, that's the gospel of Christ coming, people enter into the body of Christ. And as they begin to spread and grow and mature, that begins to affect the society as a whole. That's why I said, Gentiles will come into your light. Arise, shine, he said, because your light has come. That is, if you have light, you will shine on other people. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, let me bring something here. Oh no, before I pick it, let me just clarify this further. So if you find a lot of... Let me say it this way. What words do I use now? Okay, let me just read this and then I'll be able to connect. Okay, I know what I'm trying to say, just as it's difficult to give it words. Now, before I read it, let me just say another thing, all right? That's not what I wanted to say, but I will tie everything together. Prophets, sometimes they prophesy, and they don't, in fact, not sometimes, often, they prophesy, and they don't fully understand their prophecy. I hope you understand that. So, a lot of them finish prophesying, and they try to interpret. That's where problems begin. I'm so happy there's no interpretation here, you know what I'm saying? Especially those who see figures, you understand my point? Things are given as types. That's why the angel will tell Zechariah, what do you see? The guy says, what does it mean? He says, I don't know. Is it not you that brought the vision? He says, okay. Then he will tell him the meaning. Do you understand me? Because sometimes God does, he gives you the type, the signs, but doesn't give you the meaning, like he did to John in Revelation. After everything, John just wrote everything, packaged it, and left. You understand? Now, so sometimes when I hear prophecies from prophets, I am careful in that I know that there's often greater application than what they are saying. In fact, if you read Peter said that these are the things that prophets prophesied. And after they finished prophesying, they said, what was that? The weather. Kind of peculiar, don't you think? Those of you who watch Lion King, you know what I'm saying? That is, they just see the thing like, what was that? And the Spirit of God said, chill, don't worry. Just write it, fold it, and go and die in peace. It's not for your generation. They longed to look into it, but God, the Spirit of Christ in them said, it doesn't concern you. Just document it. To you has been committed the oracles of God. Paul said, document it and go away. Interpretation, I will give it when I'm about to manifest it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you know, let me give an example. That there was one man who said that there are three things that God said he was going to bring to an end. He said, communism, Islam, and witchcraft. Since the man said that, communism has gone down. Islam is on its way down. I hope you know that. It's on its way. Okay. When you finish that, the third one is witchcraft. And the question is that, are you saying that the witches in the villages in the East and the West will now be uprooted and burnt publicly? I happen to understand the meaning of witchcraft, and that is not what he's saying. Let me give it to you if you can receive it. God says, don't worry. After that, I'm going into the religious orders in the body of Christ, and I'm breaking them down. Simple. That's my interpretation. That's where I understand it. Witchcraft. That's what it is. All right? Now, good. In fact, that's a good place to now connect why I'm saying all this. There's something St. Jacob said here, which I'd just like to read. And the Lord says unity of the leaders is coming. The question is that he didn't say spiritual leaders. Do you understand my point? So you probably think they're talking about Enugu State Governor and Ebonyi State Governor will finally come to a conference of Southeastern states and not quarrel. Do you understand me? You can interpret it anyway, but let me tell you what. First, you know, I went to somebody, I think Kingsley and I went somewhere yesterday, and the professor I was seeing, he said something that, your university, they have killed that thing with two people never agreeing. Remember him saying it? So he said, that the provost is not around of his own university, of his own college of medicine, that he's acting. He said, but don't worry, she and I work together. He said, I'm acting for her right now. He's the dean. He said, but whatever I tell you, take it that that's what she said. He said, because we totally agree. And he, not even talking spiritually, explained that that is the reason why they are moving forward. Do you understand my point? And that we, that's where I came from in Enugu. He said, I hope your people have changed. That this is the reason why they have killed the place. Everybody is an ogre. That you cannot see two professors in one unit. He said, go to Lagos. And I came from Lagos before. That you can find two professors in a unit. And that is the truth. He said, but here, no, they won't agree. Everybody wants to be his own ogre. So he was explaining things like that. That is, if there's no unity of leaders, people don't make progress. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm just using this one to explain this point. And now, what's most important to me here, that's why I said something earlier, that what you find outside in a nation is a reflection of what is going on in the body of Christ. Did you hear what I said? That is, either they are seriously doing something wrong or they have refused to do what is right. And therefore, they cannot change the nation around them. When we were discussing at that time, talking about watchmen who are blind, each one looking out for his own good, his own selfish gain, his own end. Yet, In the same manner, you go and hear preachers preach, and they preach as if you are the only thing that's happening on the earth. It's your own breakthrough. That's all. Now, listen to me. It's important you get a breakthrough, you understand, before you can breakthrough upon people. You understand what I'm saying? But it must be taught to you like that. Otherwise, the moment you get breakthrough, you think, yes, my faith begat me this. Go and get your faith and get your own. I've heard people say things like that. As if, no. I have suffered and God has blessed me. I'm not sharing this with anybody. Do you understand my point? That is, they preach that is, men are selfish. They have been taught to be selfish. The men teaching them to be selfish are selfishing themselves and preaching messages that make it look like the only job God has is to give you money. That is like your breakthrough is his assignment in the universe, which is not right. Men don't have this principle of being on assignment in their hearts. That is, I have come to this world to be an impact upon my generation. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, but we will now get up and say that these senators are only looking for their own good. But your pastor is only preaching for you your own good also. What's the difference? That is, what you are doing is spiritual, but it's selfish, it's bad. What they are doing is physical. That's why you're looking so grossly bad. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Unity of leaders is coming, she said. Let me tell you what. The only one I have, I will not pray that, Lord, let the Northern Caucus of Governors unite with the Southern, you know, the Southern governors meet, you know the reason why they meet, in my opinion, to scare the Northern people. So you see, Governor Jim Maroke Nawani of Enugu State, and what's the name of that? Bola Ahmed Tinubu. You know, you say, what has these two people got in common? They just have a common enemy, the Northern governors. That is all. But I won't pray about them, no. The problem I have is that Christ Embassy does not ever get a minister from outside to enter any of their churches. If you are not a member of that, I know this is on tape and I'm not afraid to say it because you understand. I know I'm saying this. It's because deeper life. Have you ever seen a man that's not the deep man inside deeper life on their pulpit? It doesn't happen. Yeah, it doesn't happen. Can you see where unity of leaders? You know, that's where the problem starts. It's not with the governor, the senator. I was in Benin the other day doing a program, and there was one big fellowship. Don't I just mention names? And my friends were organizing, like, I beg, don't mention them, please. We don't want wahala. That is, now, they are not discriminating against them, but they know that those people look down on everybody else. And as far as they are concerned, if they bring one small boy pastor who got born again after I taught 1,000 messages, they will feel like he has a greater voice, that the boys were telling me that indirectly, than I have to teach that program. So, that they said they don't want quarrel. There was a time we needed a hall for something, and the guys are like, they said, no, they cannot give us the space. You tell the boys, don't they know that their pastor is coming? I said, who's their pastor? One little boy on campus. For goodness sake, I graduated from that same university 13 years ago. One little boy that probably got born again after his second year. They anointed him pastor in his fourth year, and he's there feeling very anointed. And they told him that you're elder in age, in the profession, in that school, in everything, and most certainly in anointing is coming. And the small children under them, you know. Now, what am I saying? Unity of leader, that is, the whole thing has become a cult amongst themselves. Do you understand me? And therefore, they are bigger and better than everybody else. Listen, I'll say some things to you that will interest you. One day, this woman said, God said, I'm about to start operating the occult. The Bible said that judgment starts in the house of God. Watch out, you'll see churches collapse. I'm not prophesying evil. It's not repentance. It's not. Let me tell you what, I'm a pathologist, and I told that God taught me pathology so I can learn the scriptures very well. I don't want to go into details. Let me explain so these people over there and these two people, they will understand. Okay, yeah, these six people. So while I do that, sometimes God allows such things to happen so that people who are held in bondage can be released, that they will hear the true gospel. I have a friend who this some kind of thing happened to. So we're talking about unity of leaders coming. Listen, my brethren, starting in church. Most of the denominations are terrible. I'm being honest with you. Orthodox. In fact, these days, Pentecostals are the you know, pride is a bad thing. What I'm going to say. Orthodox churches currently are more tolerant, in my opinion, than Pentecostals. You know, and the thing backfires. Those days, don't mind them. Their services are fossilized. The place is dead. So they started building their own congregations, which just became an exact replica of what they were complaining about. But they don't know it. You understand my point? They can't see it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You're talking about unity of leaders coming. As far as I understand it, judgment, the Bible says, starts where? In the house of God. Thank you very much. Now, am I trying to give us a lecture? No, we're analyzing prayer because that's what we're going to be using to pray. You understand my point? So we're talking about, I'm happy, I think, Kingsley, this is for us, these copies. So whichever one you have, read every day. And I'm explaining all these things so that you will understand how to pray. Don't start praying for Nigeria alone. You pray for the body of Christ first. Let me take some of that. He said the Lord says, I'm going to begin to unravel the corrupt system in Nigeria. And men will say it is impossible, but I say with God all things are possible. The most corrupt people that God first will deal with are pastors, preachers. I don't mean they steal money. No. I'm talking about they preach gospels that are designed to collect money. That's corruption. Absolute corruption. I was talking to my pastor the other day, and he talked about one of his friends. The guy who went to the U.S. and American pastors would sit him down and say, okay, how much money can you raise? From their own congregation, you. So they will share 70-30. Okay, sit down there. And people were like, eh? So pastor was saying, I said, listen, pastor, it's happening in Nigeria. I'm so amazing. You have to go and hear from the U.S. It's already here. So you need money in your church. You hire a pastor. Hallelujah. God said I should speak to all of you today. And the gospel is that give and your breakthrough is coming tomorrow. Is it a lie? That gospel, no, it's not a lie. But the man doesn't give a damn about your breakthrough. He has to raise 2 million naira before he leaves here. First time I heard about it was when I read Demos Shakarian's book, The Happiest People on Earth, and he saw a preacher, anointed man. The man had one eye, but very anointed. Blind, see. Forget the fact that I was not saying correctly. He was healing the blind. Lame, walk. Those were small things with him. When he finished like a 6-week program, or is it a 4-week program with the Demo Shakarian and Co., at the end, he told Demo Shakarian, man, there's money here you guys don't understand. Let me summarize the story. The guy began to raise money. 2 hours he was collecting offering. So when he finished, he packed everything into his bag, abused everybody that organized the program, and went away. He looked at Jemma Stekari and said, you're a fool. You don't understand anything. This one is my money. But the thing is, Stekari was born again from his mother's womb. You understand my point? He has never seen evil in a preacher like that. He was amazed that what is going on here? Let me cut the long story short. 5 years later, I saw the man. Is that 2 or 3 years later, I saw the man again. The man came to beg him for money to take transport. 5 years later, I heard about it. The guy was dead. He was in his 30s. Heavily anointed man. I'm talking about corruption. Listen, one of the major prayer points we pray. I actually thought I was going to talk about Nigeria first, but the church is first. Because if you get a clean church, a united church, you get people who are walking according to the will of God. To affect their generation is very simple. And then when they gather and pray, the results will be rapid. You know, I watch churches on that, you all laugh. You know, each church is very common, you know. They become like a cult unto themselves, you know. There's one church I was reading about in Charisma magazine. They're talking about how the church grew so much in Nigeria and that kind of thing and all that those days. But unfortunately, now it has become like a cult with absolute loyalty to the leader. And it's a magazine, I read it. And they were telling me what I knew already. You understand what I'm saying? If you are not with us, you are definitely against us. And it's always this holier than thou attitude. I always like churches who reach out to other people. You understand? That's one of the things I like Bishop Oyedepo. He's a big man. He commands enough respect in millions to say, I don't give a damn about anybody. But anytime he's organizing programs, he reaches out to all his friends in different... Look, Gio will be there. What's the name of the Trem Bishop again? Michael Concord will be there. Different people. One of the things I like about Pastor Paul at the Price and House on the Rock that I attend, it's also one of those things. Like my Pastor Ed here, he really doesn't care what you do in your spare time. Just be in church on Sunday. There are at least four people in that church we attend that run ministries. I'm one of them. Ken Carter is one of them. You understand? There are different people. And then you appoint your pastor in church. He's not afraid of you. You have different things to do in life. What's his problem? But I've read Constitution of Ministries before that says, if you are with us, you can never be with anybody else. Talking about unity of leader, baby, we will not start with Enugu State Governor and Ebonyi State Governor. Not Araba and Adamawa. We start with church. We start with Christ Embassy and Deeper Life. I'm telling you, places like that. So that people can, look, there is, like I always say, there are things like, let me quote from this man. I already said it also, but his own is very good. Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland said, there is a Baptist side of God that the Methodists will never know except he talks to a Baptist. That's what Kenneth Copeland says. That there is a side of God that the Pentecostal will never find out except they go and ask the Catholic boy, how is it? Are you following what I'm trying to say? I'm talking about this person. When you are using it to pray, it's not like, God, see all the corruption in the world. No, let's start in the house. What's the solution to problem in the house? It's simple. The Bible said that he will wash out with the washing of water, how? By the word. All these things come out of ignorance. Let me tell you something. If we pray for the body of Christ, it's so that God will release the anointing, let me say like this, understanding of his word into the people. And one of the things you will say, God, please, anybody, any leader in the church, we are not mentioning names this time, because we don't have a right. You can't really, individual. You can't judge individual. It's very hard. Okay? But anybody that will not allow the people of God to hear the word of God he's sending, God, please remove his influence from those people. Lord, we beg you in the name of Jesus, deliver your people into the light of truth. Do you understand my point? That the truth of the word of God can shine upon them. Because until then, we're not going anywhere. You understand where the angle I'm coming from? So I'm talking about this prophecy. Corrupt systems. You have to start, if you go and read it, you know what I call corruption? Justice for sale. Do you know what I mean? That is what corruption is. That is justice for sale. That is corruption. In the same manner in the church, is when the word it comes for sale, the word of God, which is the truth, the pillar of truth, it becomes a matter of selling. Then that is corruption. I mean, these are things we have to pray about. That the true light of God will shine into his body. That God will send his proper word and give those that would say the proper words the right influence. You understand? Not give influence to corrupt men, starting from the body of Christ. Then when you have done that, in fact, that's what I believe should be our first set of line of prayer. Then after that, we'll now pray concerning the nation. You understand my point? Justice always starting from the house. The judgment always starting from the house of what? Of God. Being honest with you, I believe. I was reading this prophecy and I said, let's go on. So the Lord says the unity of the leaders is coming. I'm going to uproot and dethrone the occult. And I'm going to overthrow the occult spirit. Okay, I like that. I like that word. And I'm going to use Nigeria to heal the rest of Africa. Because what happens in Nigeria will affect the whole continent. Look, I've been hearing this thing for a very long time. In fact, I don't have figures on that, but I think that one of the greatest nations on the earth right now, from which the gospel is being sponsored to other parts of the earth, is Nigeria. You understand my point? I remember when the communism first broke down and churches were rushing to Russia. I remember then this man at Ibadan, this bishop, I forgot his name for a moment, all right? But I was in a place, he was teaching, and he said he just came back from Russia, and they organized teaching for Christian leaders and such there. And he said then how much money they spent was about 3 million naira or 2 point something, around 2 million naira thereabout. And that, believe me, that's what he said, though, that every dime of that money came from Nigeria. And they took money from Nigeria, took to Russia, and organized, distribute books, Bibles, and stuff, and all that. And when they finished, they came back home. Let me tell you, that is what ministry is. A lot of times you hear these days, preachers feel like when they go abroad, it's to go and make money. Like, man, we are broke. Let me go and preach a bit in UK. Or go to US. No, I'm being honest with you. It's kind of things you see. That is, the reason why I'm going is to go and get some money. To go and get some money. So you go and preach, you get some money and come back. No, that to me, I've always said it. I am a light to my generation. If I am going to preach anywhere, before we start, either spiritually or physically, all right? That is, spiritually, definitely, or most times physically, all expenses will have been paid. That will go. I get a clear direction from God. Go, don't worry. That is, I won't go there and say, so this meeting has been organized at great expense. Those of you who want to support it, you won't hear from my mouth. You won't. I always do what we do all the time. This is Kingdom World Ministries, non-denominational teaching ministry, funded by free will offerings. So if you want to be a part of the work of God, all right, do this, do that. But there's no pressure on you that, okay, now you have come for this meeting. If you have been blessed, you owe God, though. You have to pay. No, I don't believe in that. And that's why Jesus didn't take offering from the multitude. You finish preaching and then we'll give to them again. I'm a giver. I finish, we'll give out tracts again. Give books at subsidized rates. And then we'll go away. Great is our reward in heaven. Not when we die. Just that God will manifest it, as is needed. You understand my point? Uh-huh. So definitely God is going to use us. But like I said, we have to start with these basics and then we'll pray for our nation. Let me tell you what. The first point I want us to take for our nation, Nigeria, remember I started by saying that watchmen, they see, they have eyes, okay? They have eyes, they see. That is, you see what is happening. I have considered it. Once I was talking with my mother-in-law and she said something that she heard from some American business, so with some foreign businessmen who were talking about, when the president just came that time and he was talking about foreign investments. And he said that the Americans, those foreign people said that the reason why they don't come to invest in Nigeria is not because there's no light. NEPA. People say NEPA. That's not the point. MTN is using generators everywhere. Globalcom self. He said that's not the problem. That their main problem, why most of them will not bring their money to Nigeria, is because there is no access to justice. I told you the story of Econet. If I could, I would have loved to write the president of Nigeria and tell him that I agree the story I heard is biased a bit, but it looks like there's a lot of truth in it. Please investigate it and make sure justice is done for these people. Otherwise, you have told everybody that Nigeria is risky. The men there said, the day they arrived, the day Zachary arrived, Zachary Wazara, the guy was heading Econet Nigeria. That first week in his car, four armed men with AK-47s robbed the guy of his car. The guy didn't go back home, saying Nigeria is dangerous. The time they finally left, they were deported by our own immigration department for no offense that was deportable. But because the big men they are doing business, we said they didn't want them anymore. Because they wanted some other people, and the people now decided that they want another set of business. And they know there's a proper procedure for legal redress. When the men went to court, the first one they were told, the people came to challenge that The court has no jurisdiction. And the judge rules that he has jurisdiction. And they now appeal the ruling on jurisdiction and appeal court set judgment for the maybe 5 months. No. Get this. That was just on jurisdiction, not on the matter. And this is business. You know, business money is calculated by the day. So you delay justice. Why am I saying all this? That the main problem we have actually is what? Justice. No, honestly. That's, I'm telling you, I'm looking as a watchman, I can see what is going on. You're driving along the road, you are more afraid of a policeman than you are afraid of a thief. That's not right. And the man is supposed to be a law enforcement officer. You know, there are things we see in, you know, if you go around, you talk to people who know, you'll be amazed at what goes on in what is supposed to be law enforcement. A man is enforcing his own idea. I remember one man said, "You don't have CMR." I said, "You're an officer of the law." He said, "Yes." I said, "Tell me what law says that you have a CMR." I said, "Are you enforcing what you want, or are you enforcing the law?" It was a simple question I asked him. I said, "You are an officer of the law. Which law are you enforcing now that you are wasting my time here?" Now, those such things don't change overnight. And like we read from the scriptures before, that when the law sees it, the Bible says that he's displeased. You understand? The Bible says, if you read Isaiah 59, if you get down, read the whole thing, you see it said, justice is overtaken in the streets. Righteousness stands far away. Justice is turned back. He said, truth has stumbled in the streets. Uprightness cannot enter. He said, truth is lacking. And he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw and he was displeased. The Bible says it was displeasing his sight. I just read Isaiah chapter 59 from verse 14 to verse 14 and 15. Why am I saying all this? So now, I am reading. Let me just tell you what. As we go on, as you pray and you observe life, if you have a serious point which you think we should pick, okay, you bring it up, we add it to our prayer list. But we're not trying to crowd, you know, have 50 prayer points. One of my friends went for an ordinary prayer and they had 490 prayer points in one night. He obviously were not praying. Of course, most of it were witches and wizards and, you know, it's true. It's amazing. That's not what we're trying to do. One specific pointed prayer. What I'm giving you now is that, because personally for Nigeria as a nation, this is what I want us to start praying with. I'm giving that. You know, that's, there may be other things, but that's what is strong in my personal heart, okay? And that is to pray for truth and justice to be returned to our legal system and what? Our law enforcement, you know, structure. Let me tell you the truth. I told you the story about Econet to bring that point in. As far as I am concerned, that is what is fundamental in Nigeria today. A lot of nonsense that prevents progress occurs because the people feel too powerful and there is nowhere you can go to reduce his power. You understand my point? You know, I was discussing with you the other day that NEPA said that somebody owed light in the house I'm living in. And I said, okay, is it not a utility? Yes. So am I supposed to pay for what somebody has utilized? Said doesn't care. That this house will not have light. I said, well, so I talked to a lawyer who said that now NEPA can be sued. Do you know that before you couldn't sue NEPA? It's so surprising. You couldn't sue NEPA or NITEL. But thank God that doesn't happen anymore. But what I'm just saying is that people come up with, now they're trying to recover their money quite all right. But you're recovering money from the wrong person. So I asked them a simple question. Where were you when the man was gathering this debt? He said he must have been bribing our officials. Therefore, you have, you know, Americans will tell you that you're under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you. Now, the guy had just said to me that we are culpable, but you are going to pay. Is that not what he said? Our officials must have been bribed not to collect the bill. So, the man who bribed the official, he has gone. The official that was bribed, you are not chasing him. Me, that I'm just standing here, who wants to use light? Justice is turned back. Truth has been overtaken. Uprightness cannot enter. The Lord sees it all the time and he's displeased. So when we are praying, simple prayer point
before you start speaking the tongues, Lord, give us access to just, and you can get very specific. Lord, open for us more courts. Appoint for us more judges. You know, give us upright judges. Give us, you know, it's very simple. Because one of the problems, you can ask Kingsley, his father is a judge, you know, he'll tell you. One of the problems is congestion in the courts. You understand my point? That is, when the man gives adjournment for 6 months, it's not out of laziness. That is the next available spot. It's not when the Supreme Court, what's it called, appeal court, give a judgment for 5 months. It's not like the people don't want to work or they are supporting the one side against another. It's just that, you see, they have a schedule. They have adjournments that they have placed there. The next free point, see how far it is down the line. Come on, we can have more appeal courts. Why should we have only the few we have? There's nothing wrong with having one per state. You understand what I'm trying to say? Good enough, God has given us an. In fact, you know, every university in Nigeria opens a law faculty first. So we have so many young men who are graduating now. Oh, this is plenty of jobs that you can give to people. I mean, I'm telling you how to pray. So it's not like, Father, hey, there's trouble in the land. No. Specific prayer points. Now, this is a problem. Now, what we have observed as watchmen that will solve this problem is give us more courts. There was one they started in Lagos recently, what they call their open court system. I don't. You heard it. It's part of this idea of some of that, so you can get arbitration. You know, you don't waste time. It's business deal. Come on, business. You're talking about money spent by the day. I remember when Americans went to the polls for their last election, before the one that's coming up next week. There's another one next week, 4 years ago. When there was a problem with who's winning, who's not winning, you know, I said, praise God, though, even in my country now, you know, we're going to argue jurisdiction. We have to appoint interim government. Quick, they have finished the state Supreme Court, finished that, they jumped to, God, these guys understand that a president has to be sworn in shortly. So, you know, they fast track everything. And we should have that. Look, I have many ideas in my head. You know, I think that God at least speaks to me with ideas. I'm like Joseph. I'm telling you, in everything, I'm like Joseph. I have ideas to solve these problems, honestly. No, really, you see, these ideas come. Like, I used to say that there's nothing wrong with subsidy, really. And that, what they call the World Bank and IMF, they look out for their own interest first. Don't ever have the idea that they are looking out for your interest. God is the only one that looks first out for your interest. And people who are ordained by God, you understand, to help you. Like your father, your mother might look out for your interest. Not even every parent does it, too. Recently, I encountered the one. You were there, Joy. You understand my point? Uh-huh. No, it's true. So, you understand that. So, I used to say then that, look, listen. What's wrong with subsidy? The woman won Nobel Prize, I think last year, for economics. The man was explaining. One of the things he used to explain is that, listen, that a country that is starting up, you understand, that's weak in economy, can never benefit from globalization. Now, I've been saying that for a very long time. I'm not an economist. I study medicine. Because Yoruba has a proverb. He said, to eat together is sweet. But they have another one that adds to it that if one person does not have, it's not sweet. You understand my point? If you happen to contribute to globalization, you can never benefit from it. They'll just kill your industries. Then I was proved right when George Bush slammed tariffs on imported steel in the U.S. to protect his own companies. And our guy, Presido, Nigeria too, he lent it. He banned the importation of textiles. Because they said the textile industry has been running for 30 years non-stop. Then one day they shut down. So people tell our president, CEO, he said, eh? Is that so? He banned the importation of textiles and the people woke up again. Alright, what am I saying all this? That there are practical things when you take to God in prayer as much as you can. You understand? But not beyond things you understand. And when you speak to God in prayer, speak specifically about the nation. But first, for time's sake, let me just round up. First thing you have to understand, number one, is that your most important prayer point for now, I didn't even know that before I came in, I believe the Spirit of God has stirred me up, is concerning the body of Christ. And some of these things that Cindy Jacobs wrote in here, we have to apply to the body of Christ first. And very strongly, pray for the body of Christ, that the people who are held in bondage, all right, insects, they will be liberated. You understand? So that they can understand the truth of the word of God. Pray that God will send his truth, send his teachers, send people who have the word of God, that they will serve the world without charge. You understand? To the people. Now, listen to me. God will bless people in return. God will definitely bless them. But we need to pray, because we can't just keep on sitting there and just talking. We have to pray and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, send your word to this place. Send your word to your people in this country, in this state, in this town. Let the word of God come. Anoint teachers, anoint pastors, anoint people that will feed your people with the word. Relocate those who are not being fed but who are held in bondage. Break the bondage with which they are held. You understand my point? Specific prayer points. Now listen to me. Now you go on to the nation. What do you put? Let me give you, that means summarize my suggestion. Simple. Lord, give us leaders who, I forgot to mention that. In the same manner, when you have pastors who are looking primarily out for the interest of the body of Christ, then you pray, therefore, that God, in the same manner, give us leaders that will come to look out primarily for the interest of the nation. That's important. Apart from this justice and law enforcement that I talk about. Then, of course, see, I think that law enforcement, we should pray specifically about it. Lord, appoint for us an Inspector General of Police. And I keep on giving it as a reference. NAFDAC became NAFDAC when the current DG was appointed. You understand my point? Sanity was restored to the supply and distribution of drugs and manufacturing of it also in Nigeria because one person was appointed. We can pray also in the same manner. God will appoint for you one IG. Overnight, you won't recognize Nigerian police. You will be surprised. You follow. And then, of course, it's a good time we start praying. Election is going to come up in Nigeria again in a few years. And then it's a good time we start praying that, Lord, when the mantle of leadership will be changing, God, you will give us leaders who their primary interest, get my point, from the president down to the local government councillor, that God frustrate the counsel of anybody that want to go in to go and enrich himself. No, very, very valid prayer point. So anybody that goes in there, his primary concern will be to better the lot of the society that he's leading. I told you the other day about, I won't say that now until I'm because of time, of a man in one important part of the country who they went abroad, that's a government official, to go and study a way by which they can, you know, the way telecommunication improved in Nigeria. I want to improve one other part of Nigerian society like that. And he wrote the report and put it under his chair. Said why? Said the company did not give him any money. So because they are going to get a contract to improve services for us, the man said the thing will not be released. If I remember him and pray, that young man should go born. So that thing, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. People do that. DG was asking me that, my brother. You know, he was just marveling at this. You know, we're talking about this GSM, Globalcom, selling lines for 1 naira. MTN, their line is now 2,000 naira with 500 naira free airtime. V-Mobile is now 1,000 naira with 500 naira free airtime. You know, things just go happening. I heard that Nitel is coming out again. That's MTEL with free line. That's 2,005 airtime. You know, I'm hearing things like that. So he said that, where did these things come from suddenly in these last few years? That wasn't all possible all these years. I told him, oh boy, a young man, let me tell you the truth. When you say leaders or government, governments are people. You understand? That when you have somebody who's looking out primarily for his own interest, I mean, running the affairs, that's why you will never see this kind of progress. I said, you saw this kind of progress because the president appointed Ernest Ndukwe, you understand? And just say, okay, boy, do something. Nobody needs to tell you that. I'm not saying nobody there took bribes or ate kickbacks. I don't know. But one thing is clear. The things were not done primarily for anybody's interest, but for the national well-being. And things happen like this. Are you seeing what I mean by prayer point? So you pray like that. God, appoint for us leaders like that who look out primarily for the national interest. Look, I have spoken. I was supposed to speak for 10 minutes. But see what Kingsley and Oyinka Chukwu have cost now. Or have cost. I don't know. I don't know how they cost it. I'm just looking for who to blame. All right, so let us just, let's close. But before we close, let us pray.
I just like to give thanks anyway. Just for a minute, let's just give God thanks for everything we have heard so far. Let's just give God thanks. Let's thank Him because most importantly, we have been appointed as priests, and that's what we are doing, to offer up sacrifices, offer up prayers before God for the betterment of our society, for our nation, of the body of Christ in Nigeria. Let's go give God thanks for that privilege. Let's tell Him, Father, thank you because you have counted us worthy because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you because we have access to your throne. Thank you because you hear us. Thank you because we have been declared righteous in your presence. Therefore, we can speak concerning the church. We can speak concerning the nation before you, and you will hear and you will answer. We thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name. Now, just to give us like a kind of example, let's use this and pray for a few things in line with what we have discussed earlier. First of all, let us pray for the body of Christ in Nigeria. Let us ask that God, in the name of Jesus, we're asking that you bring about unity of leaders. Okay, yeah, I'm looking for the line. It said, and the Lord said, the unity of the leaders is coming. So let's say, Lord, in accordance to your promise, let unity be amongst the leaders of the body of Christ in Nigeria. Simple. Let's ask God so that, you know, it's with unity that will be built up. You understand? Say, Lord, let unity be amongst the leaders. You know, there's something I'm just reading here, which is, I think I read it wrongly before. It said, and the Lord says the unity of leaders is coming. The next time he said, it's going to, he didn't say I am. I just realized I read it wrongly. He said, it is going to uproot and dethrone the occult, for I am about to overthrow the occult spirit. Now, let's join in with the Lord in agreement, therefore. First, in the body of Christ, that this occult spirit of this is my congregation. Nobody else can speak in this congregation. This is my own people. Nobody, I have rule over them. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, break that spirit with this unity in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, say, Lord, release your people to hear the whole gospel so that one person will not be able to hold on to his own side. Say, God, release your people to hear your gospel. Say, Father, break down the walls of partitioning in the body of Christ in Nigeria. Lord, dethrone anyone that will stand in the way of this. Lord, release your people to come into unity. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let your people come into the unity of spirit. Break down the walls. Say, Lord, destroy the occult spirit in the name of Jesus. I want us as a body, you know, speak now, not to the Lord, but directly against that occult spirit. Say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, we command you to take your hands off the body of Christ in Nigeria concerning this partitioning in an occult fashion. In Jesus, speak directly against that spirit. Say, we come against the occult spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against the occult spirit in the name of Jesus. Satan, we bind you and we cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. That you will not succeed any further to partition us and divide us in the name of Jesus. Say, you will not succeed to partition us further in the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus, on behalf of our brethren, we say, we reach out to other brethren in the name of Jesus, and we recognize them as members of this body in the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to end today's prayer point by praying one prayer. Say, Lord, bring forth your revival of the teaching of truth upon your body in this country in the name of Jesus Christ. That is, Lord, let a revival of the teaching of truth come upon the body of Christ in Jesus' name. that, Lord, we are asking that the season of self-seeking prayers and teachings should come to an end and be replaced by the ministry type of learning and understanding. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Say, Lord, send forth your word. Send forth your laborers into this field. Anoint your teachers. Anoint your pastors. Anoint your apostles. Anoint your prophets. Anoint your evangelists. Anoint your exhorters. Anoint everyone that handles the truth. Let them fill your body with the truth. In Jesus' name. All right. Now let's just say one prayer for the nation before we go. First, say, Lord, two things we'll say, but this is the first one. We'll just pray for the leaders of Nigeria currently, but I just wanted to say this so that when we go, we can continue on. Now, all this is we are saying, please, it's like a, let me say, it's like a practice. You understand what I'm saying? This the word, the prayers are effective. Now, that's what I mean. That's not what I mean, that it's not effective. I just mean that it's not just today. Like I said, knock. And you keep knocking. That's what we are teaching. That's what we are practicing. These are prayer points that you continue to pray every time. Anytime, if you are eating and you remember, you drop your spoon for a minute and you say something. You follow what I'm saying? Now, so I just want to add these two to it. One, first and foremost, that what we said, Lord, appoint for us leaders that will change our law enforcement for the better. Appoint for us. Is it attorney generals, you guys call it? Uh-huh. Anyway, leaders also in the judicial system that will cause what you want, that is access to justice, to be available in Nigeria in the name of Jesus Christ. And then last of all, you now say, Lord, appoint for us, as whenever God is set to change, now we have set a time for election, but God can change anything anytime he wants. But Lord, appoint for us leaders that will have the interest of the people, of the nation, first in their hearts. That is, when they are coming, it's not what can I get, but what good can I create in these people? You understand? And then last of all, let's pray that for our current leadership in Nigeria, God will guide them, give them wisdom, and direct their hearts in the way he wants. You know, it's just shortly, and then we'll close with that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for today. It's been a beautiful day. Thank you for what you have taught us.